So, Paul, there's been a lot of questions and speculation around 350 Prince Charles Drive here in Welland, which, of course, you know, a week or so ago endured a structural failure. It's been all over the news. It's been all over social media. We know a little bit, but we don't know a lot because the Ministry of Labor needs to go in, conduct their investigation, and figure out what happened. And because we don't know a lot, our guest today, Jack Tossa, Chief Building Official for the City of Welland, we're really not going to ask him too many specific questions about that property, about that building, because again, at this point, it would be all speculation. Like I said, the Ministry of Labor needs to go in, they need to conduct their investigation to figure out what happened. But for now, we're going to have a chat with Jack, and we're going to figure out what he does as a Chief Building Official, what his staff do, what is the city's role in building, in inspections, and that kind of thing. And hopefully, the goal is to clear the air on some of those things. So with Jack Tossa, let's jump right in. All right, so we're here with Chief Building Official Jack Tossa. Jack, I mentioned what your title is, but can you tell us a little bit more about what a Chief Building Official is, what they do? Take it away.
Thanks, Mark. So my role is legislated through the Interior Building Code, and it essentially requires me to establish operational policies for the enforcement of the Building Code and the Building Code Act within the City of Welland. I also am responsible to coordinate and oversee the enforcement, exercise powers and duties that are assigned to me under the Building Code Act, and to perform my duties in an independent manner and in accordance with the standards established by the applicable Code of Conduct. So I oversee the operation, the enforcement, the permit issuance, and all the inspection processes that are authorized under the Building Code Act.
And it's, as you just mentioned, it's pretty regulated. You have exactly what you need to follow, what you need to look at. There's not a lot of, right. You know, you're not in a position where, like myself as a creative type, I can, you know, kind of ad lib here and there and have some fun. It's absolutely. It's a little different.
So all of our roles are prescribed in the Building Code and in the Building Code Act, which is a legislative document. The regulation determines what type of permits, what type of documentation is required for building permits, and what type of inspections are required to be performed and carried out during various stages of construction.
So, Jack, if we are talking about stages of construction, at what point, and I mean, let's start at the very beginning, at what point does your work, at what point do you become involved with the project that you start working with a new build?
You mean talking about me as a CBO or me as a building official?
You as a building official or people right. on your team?
Our staff become involved as soon as once the building permit application is submitted for review. So an application, the submission of applications is dictated by the documentation that are outlined in the City of Welland building bylaw. And that gives us the authority to ask for various types of documentation, the drawings, the specifications, any other applicable approvals external from external agencies, any kind of studies. That submission is done through the building permit submission process. Staff at that point review the submission, review the technical the nature of the submission. And once it is determined that the proposal complies with Interior Building Code and applicable law, staff will be in a position to issue a building permit.
So once that building permit's out, buildings start to get underway, shovels are in the ground, walls start going up, and the building inspections start to kick in. What is, who's responsible for what at that stage?
So all the inspections that are required based on the scope of work are provided. The information on building on inspections is provided along with the building permit, and at which point the person to whom the permit is issued is responsible to notify our staff of readiness for inspections. So there's various stages of inspections that the building code prescribes that we have to inspect. And that person is responsible, the person who holds the permit is responsible to contact us and arrange for those inspections.
So if I'm building a structure and I get to, you know, point two along my process, I know that I need to call the city.
Correct.
I got to call Jack and say, hey, Jack, I'm ready for you to inspect this. Before I can move on to the next thing.
That's correct. It's all prescribed checks and balances. So you can't proceed until the previous stage of construction has been inspected.
And what would happen if I said, Jack's busy or, I don't want to wait. I want to get started on the next thing.
So it's not that easy because, for instance, if we're not able to ensure that, for instance, footings or foundations, we're not ensure that we're able to inspect them and we can't confirm compliance with the applicable permit drawings or the building code, then you would not be able to proceed any further. We have the authority under the Building Code Act to issue certain orders that prevent you from continuing. So we have some tools that are afforded to us under the Building Code Act to control, and to ensure that stages of inspections have been conducted.
And subsequently me as, you know, this person building this structure, I need to follow those as well.
Correct.
So Jack, construction, buildings, we're not talking models here. We are talking life-size structures that people are using. Right. Complexities are involved, regardless of the size and scale of what's being built. What expertise, education, learning, training does a building inspector have to go through to be able to assess how a building is progressing?
Right. So all practitioners, building code practitioners, by that I mean designers and inspectors, are required to possess certain qualifications that are prescribed by the Ministry of Municipal Affairs and Housing, and there is a testing criteria for that. So depending on the type of building, and the building code categorizes buildings into four categories, starting with house, small buildings, large buildings, and complex buildings. The inspectors and the designers have to possess those qualifications for those types of categories of buildings in the various disciplines. So whether it's architectural, structural, plumbing, and mechanical, energy efficiency, those kind of disciplines, we have to possess those qualifications in that field of design and inspection. Having said that, the only professionals that are exempted from qualifications for the design purposes are architects and professional engineers. And those two groups are regulated under their own acts. So the Architects of Ontario are regulated through the Architects Act of Ontario, and the Professional Engineers are regulated through Professional Engineers Act of Ontario.
So for your inspections, is there anybody else involved? Like, so again, I'll use me as an example. I'm building something in the city. I need, you know, the city's building inspectors to come out and check things out. Do I have anybody that I can bring on to check things, or is it solely on the city's building department to do the inspections?
So for the most part, for instance, houses or small buildings are typically inspected by the city's building inspectors, but there are categories of buildings that the building code requires to be designed by architects and professional engineers through their legislative requirements under the Ontario Architects Act and Professional Engineers Act. And those buildings, as they become constructed, as they progress, are required to be reviewed, or another word for inspected, reviewed by the designer, by the engineer or the architect to ensure compliance with their designs. Those reports are then required to be submitted to the chief building official for our review. So our role in those kind of buildings is to review those reports on a regular basis to ensure that any deficiencies that have been discovered are followed up in subsequent inspection reports. Mm-hmm. So it's a system of checks and balances that we make sure that progress takes place in accordance with the design by the designer, and that deficiencies, if any, are discovered and are being addressed.
So with a system of checks and balances, you have certain authorities, you have certain abilities,
right,
in your role. And what are some of those authorities? What are you able to do if you have noticed a deficiency as a chief building official?
Right.
What's in your purview that you can act on?
So our inspectors are empowered to issue notices. During the inspection process, they provide inspection reports to the builder, either to confirm that the inspection has passed, successfully been completed in the past, or identify any deficiencies, communicate those deficiencies to the builder, and request that those be corrected prior to the next inspection, or call for next inspection when they're corrected. If there is, and for the most part, those kind of requests, that relationship is very voluntary, achieved, and we have no issues. Should you run into a situation where a person may be less than willing to conform to our requests, we have legislative authority to issue orders, like orders to comply, compelling the person to make some corrections under the Building Code Act, or it goes far as stub work order, or issuing other orders such as order not to cover, or even an unsafe building order if the situation arose. So that's one of some of the orders that were available to us. The thing is that when we issue orders, that initiates a legal process. And the Building Code Act is legislation that's enforced through the Provincial Offenses Act. So at that point, we would initiate legal action in form of orders and then prosecution.
So Jack, everything you've said in our conversation so far is indicative of a process. It's indicative of, crossing every T, dotting every I, right, making sure that a process is followed, that safety of workers and the building itself is there. These things take time, I would imagine, right? Right from the very beginning when you get, drawings or the applications to review them. And then, as the process unfolds, it is a process. Mm-hmm.
It's a prescriptive process.
And I would imagine it can't be rushed, right? Because whether it's you as the chief building inspector, the engineers, the architects, whoever it is that's working on a project, they're very detail oriented to make sure that they've got it right.
Right.
And so for you, you're not going to rush any of these processes. You're going to make sure, like you said, it's prescriptive, you follow it, and away you go. And really by the sounds of it, it's, that is the way to do it.
That is correct. I just want to add that the building code does prescribe minimum or maximum timelines for issuing certain permits. So for instance, for a house, for a complete application, the building code allows us to issue the permit within 10 working days. That's if no deficiencies are being discovered. Mm-hmm. For a small building, it's 15 working days. For a large building, it's 20 working days. In complex, it's 30 working days. And that's, Should the review be uninterrupted, so no deficiencies are found, so that's the maximum amount of time. Once we find deficiencies, the clock stops, and we send out a deficiency notice to the applicant, requiring that they revise their submission and then provide the corrective designs for us. And that at that point, it sort of halts the timeline for it, but it's still in queue to be reviewed.
Once that timeline has been halted, there really is no way of gauging then what that completion date could be or what that next step is, because each situation is unique. There really isn't typically it will happen within this period of time or this period of time. Each situation is assessed for itself. Yes?
Right. So there's a responsibility on the designer to respond back to our requests. Let's say we discover some deficiency with the design. We outline those deficiencies, provide them in a list to be corrected and resubmitted to us. That timeline is dictated by the applicant. So they may have, the designers might have multiple projects that they're responding mm-hmm. to, that they're working with. So depending on their timeline. Now today with today's, development boom, everybody's stressed for time. So designers, no different than building officials, are pressed for time, and they're juggling multiple projects at one time. For us to do a deficiency, it's not a matter of must to prepare a letter to a designer, because we have multiple projects on the go. So by that time we get that response back, a certain amount of time maybe have lapsed. Now you have to open up that file again. Refresh your memory exactly where you were at, because you've got multiple projects going. Last year we issued over 1,100 permits. Mm-hmm. That's quite a task for our staff that pretty much works out to a permit a day per plan examiner, right? That's a pretty hefty workload. So it's very important to stay organized and make sure you have the tools to allow you to process those applications.
So Jack, building's a hot topic right now. Is there anything else that you want us to know, you want listeners to know just about, the process, building inspections, that kind of thing? Or do you think we've done a pretty good job covering it so far?
No, I think overall, this gives a good indication of what our purpose and our roles are within the corporation here. And I think our process is very consistent to other municipalities, like I mentioned before, I worked in five different regions, so I have a pretty good overview of what the implementation interpretation is like across the province. You know, it's not just, you know, I'm not looking through tunnel vision in one municipality. I've had that experience. So we're able to take the, you know, the best practices of other municipalities, ensure that we're consistent with the standard of care that's afforded and that's expected of our staff. So.
Well, Jack, thank you very much for taking the time. Like you said, and we chatted about, you and your team, very busy. So squeaking out of 20 minutes for us is much, much appreciated. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Jack. There is a lot going on right now in the City of Welland's building department, and it is a huge thanks owed to Jack for joining us today to talk about what a chief building official does. And there's a lot of scrutiny. There's a lot of attention on the City of Welland right now. And Jack is here with us to clarify what is involved with a building from the moment an application is submitted until that structure is completed. There is a very prescribed process in place, and he's one of the experts to speak to that. So his words really carry a lot of resonance on a day like today with what's going on in the City of Welland. Mark, what did Jack say that really spoke to you?
Yeah, I think all of it, Paul. I mean, when you take the whole conversation, you know, as an entire piece, there's a lot there. But how many of us, unless we're actually involved in the building process, really have an idea of what's involved? I mean, I wouldn't have ever had a clue that as a builder, it would be incumbent upon me to reach out to the city and say, hey, I've reached stage one, stage two, whatever it is, we need to get the inspection done. They know that. But for me, as somebody who just goes about their daily lives, not building things, I would have no idea. So I think, you know, again, given everything that's going on in the community right now, questions naturally come up. What is the process? Who's involved and when and how does it work? And, you know, it is prescribed by legislation. It's, you know, it's a process that does need to unfold from beginning to end in whatever fashion that looks like. And so, yeah, for Jack to take the time today amidst everything that's going on, just, you know, not only at 350 Prince Charles Drive, which of course is garnering much of the attention, but just in general, in terms of the growth in the building that's happening in the city, you know, we're very fortunate to have somebody with his experience and his knowledge base and his team to, you know, kind of be at the behind the wheel on this. So, yeah, no, it was all very informative, very insightful. And I hope, and again, this is why we do these episodes, you know, we want to deliver some information about the process, about how things work, about departments and what they do. So, you know, overall, again, thank you, Jack. And I learned a lot.
Jack, thank you again for joining us today. This episode is going to be available, as all of our episodes are, at engagewelland.ca/podcast. Season one up to season two is there, and all of our future episodes are there. So check us out and be sure to visit us weekly and keep coming back for new episodes and new guests.